Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of podcast After Dark here. We'll get more to that in a minute, but this is your host Scott Burke, and this is of course the Clown Hour. This is the podcast partner of the sports blog called The Clown Times. You can find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net, and that's Clown spelled with a K, by the way. And you can find me on Facebook. Just go with your smartphone, laptop, desktop, wherever. Just go to the search window and type in the phrase The Clown Times, and again, that's Clown Phil, okay, you can find me there as well. We got a lot to get into, including the previewing of, it's that time of the year again, folks, college football. Loving it, loving it, loving it. So we're going to break that down with my guy here, Jared Bredo, and he's known as College Football _ Overtime on Twitter, and I'll share my thoughts on Andrew Luck, the retirement of Andrew Luck and Gronk momentarily. But let's get this party started. I mentioned him earlier. You can find him on Twitter, wrapping up all things college football at college CFB _ Overtime. His name is Jeff Brody. So let's bring him in for his maiden voyage into the Clown Hour. So, Jared, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. It's good to talk to you. I see you've been doing your thing in college football on Twitter, so I figured let me just get my man on here so we can wrap about all things college football and previewing this college football season. I mean, I don't know about you, my man, but I've been looking forward to college football for the past, I don't know, how many months, 7 months? I've been, like, counting down my head since the national title. What was that?
Oh, I was saying, just the same as you. Ever since last season ended, I've been looking forward to it.
Right, right. So before we get into this preview, man, tell me a little bit about yourself, since this is your first time on the Clown. I was like, how did you get into covering college football? And how long have you been doing so?
Just a huge fan. College football is my passion. I'd love to start a career in it, so I figured why not start a Twitter account and see where it could take me. I've been doing it probably about a year now, so I'm relatively new, but I enjoy it.
Cool, man. You do a good job on it. So tell me real quick before we get into the one more question. What school do you hail from? What's your alma mater?
I'm from Columbus, Ohio, but I don't necessarily have a favorite team. I grew up an Ohio State fan, but now I just like to be non-biased and just cover the whole sport.
Nice, nice. So we're going to talk about Ohio State momentarily. I know you got some good things to say, interesting things to say about that. But let's get into my equipment, man. So every season, no matter what year it is, that's a storyline. You know what I'm saying? Like who's on the hot seat, the Heisman front runners, who's going to surprise you, whichever conference, your name, whatnot. But this, off the top of your head, what are the juiciest storylines for this upcoming season?
All right. My biggest storyline for 2019 is going to be Harbaugh's last chance. So as we both know, Jim Harbaugh is entering his fifth year at Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
So far, he's been a little bit unimpressive. He's 0-3 against his biggest rival in Ohio State. He's 1-4 in bowl games, and he has yet to compete for a national title, which is what he was brought into Michigan to do.
Right. Right.
So I would. So, I would. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're good. Go ahead. You're about to get into your thoughts.
So I was just. I just wanted to point out that this year everything has lined up for Jim Harbaugh. His biggest rival in Ohio State is replacing their head coach. They replaced the offensive coordinator. They replaced the defensive coordinator.
Yep.
And they also replaced a starting quarterback. Jim Harbaugh is entering
right.
the year. This is the best offensive line he's had so far. He has a great quarterback in Shea Patterson. He's a second-year starter, so he should be ready to go. He should know exactly what's going on. They've brought in a new offensive coordinator to run a new offense catering towards Shea Patterson. So this is – if there's a year for Michigan, this should definitely be his year. And if Jim Harbaugh were to have the same type of year that he's been having, I think the scene in Ann Arbor would be not so hot.
Well, you know what? We're sharing a brain right there, my man. I mean, you have to figure – you have to figure Jim Harbaugh has to get it done right against Ohio State. You have to figure because, to your point, Michigan did not bring him in to pay him all that money to go 0-5 against Ohio State. They didn't pay all that money for them to get embarrassed the way they have against Ohio State in particular.
Exactly.
The last 2-3 seasons. Like, remember, like, was it? I guess it was last year when they got the Aces boat race. In Columbus, and that was supposed to be one of Michigan's best teams.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't even close. And, you know, I know that, like, what, 3 years ago when I guess some people say that Michigan got robbed at the shoe when, I guess, on that fourth down spot, the infamous fourth down
All
spot
right.
that gave Ohio State the first down.
In overtime,
and
yep.
one in overtime. And so, without that game notwithstanding, the rest of the game, the past few seasons of Ohio State have been absolutely dud. And to your point, if they don't beat Ohio State fans, Urban Meyer, the offensive coordinator, the quarterback from last season who's now first round draft pick with the Washington Redskins, if Jim Harbaugh doesn't get it done at home against this version of Ohio State, it's going to get really ugly in Ann Arbor pretty quickly.
100%, I agree with you completely.
Yeah, so it remains to be seen. I think Jim Harbaugh is a good coach. I think he's a little overrated because what you just mentioned. Also, he only beat Michigan State once. So
yeah,
He has to clean a lot of stuff up. And it starts with beating Ohio State. I mean, he has a 9-win team, at least a 9-win team. And with this, he has potential winning 10 or 11 games. But none of that matters if he doesn't beat Ohio State.
Right. That's their biggest roadblock. Right.
Exactly. So, no matter what, it'd be Michigan State once in a while, too, which would be nice. So, so throw that in there.
I'm sure the fans would like to see that, too.
Yeah. And I know, you know, living in Cincinnati, I know a Michigan State alums who have been pretty happy for the past 4 years. So
right.
it's not good. It hasn't been good for Michigan fan. It hasn't really been good for Harbaugh the last 5 seasons because of what we just mentioned. You know, it's going to be interesting to be seen. So do you think Shea Patterson, do you really think he's that dude in Michigan to get them over the hump? I mean, I'm trying to figure out this Shea Patterson mystery here. What should we expect from Patterson this season in your mind?
Yeah, I think Shea Patterson is great. I think he's the best quarterback they've had come through there in a few years.
Sure.
He's a transfer from Ole Miss. This
right.
will be his second season. I would say he's a top 10 quarterback coming into this year. I think he's great, and I think that they have brought in a new offensive coordinator to cater to him. So I definitely think if they have a quarterback that's going to get it done, I think it could be Shea Patterson.
Yeah, true that. So basically, we talked about Jim Harbaugh being on a proverbial hot seat. I could think of another coach like Clay Helton in USC.
Right.
I mean, I don't have the schedule out in front of me, but I know they play Fresno State, the first game of the season. And I know it's going to be at the Coliseum, but Fresno State is very dangerous. That's a good point.
Right.
I
would say, Clay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that if Clay doesn't get it done, if he loses to Fresno State at home, he might not survive halfway through the season. But, I mean, he has the most, to me, he's one of the few coaches who has the most, a lot to gain, but the most to lose. And it starts with Fresno State this Saturday night.
For sure. I think, I don't necessarily know that Jim Harbaugh, they would fire him if he had another bad season. I think a lot of fans would lose hope, but I definitely think Clay Helton would be number one hottest seat for me after going 5-7
right.
last season.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just weird to see SC down like this.
Right.
I mean, it's just so weird. I mean, I don't know how old you are. I'm 45, and I remember SC being great in the 80s and
for
the
sure.
part of the 90s, and when what's his name? Now Pete Carroll turned that thing around
mm-hmm.
with Reggie Bush and Matt Lyon and company, Linda White. I'm not used to seeing USC sucking the way they've been the past, at least being mediocre the past few seasons. That's just odd. So Clay Helton has to get together. He's going to be a dead man walking this season.
Definitely.
I mean, especially with the Pac-12, we'll get into that in a second, being the Pac-12 South being wide open.
I have
my Heisman favorites. We're talking from one thing to another here, like, you know, we're talking about storyline. A lot of people picking, and rightfully and for good reason, Trevor Lawrence from Clemson to be the Heisman frontrunner. I mean, after all,
yep. He
did allow Alabama by 4 touchdowns in the national championship game. And he is that dude. He is legit, obviously. Exactly. I mean, the spotlight can be shining brightly on him. But something tells me another dude is going to emerge from that pack. Some people think Tua from Alabama. Some people think Sam Ellinger from Texas. So who do you think should be the front runner for the Heisman? Or pretty much if you want, you can say who you think's going to win it.
Right. I mean, I think you just named 3 great guys. Trevor Lawrence, true freshman last year, he had an outstanding season. There was talk about people saying he should sit out for 2 years and go straight to the NFL. That's the kind of season he had last year. Tua, he replaced Jalen Hurts 2 years ago in the national championship and brought Alabama back to beat Clemson in the national – or Georgia, sorry, in the national title. He's another
sure.
great quarterback. We also have a lot of transfer quarterbacks this year. We have Justin Fields to Ohio State. I think he's set to have a great season. I love Sam Ellinger in Texas. He's a field general there. He runs that offense. I think he should be high on that list. There's also Jalen Hurts, who transferred from Alabama. He's going to be in Oklahoma, which is big because if you look at it, Oklahoma has had the previous 2 Heisman winners under Lincoln Riley. I think Lincoln Riley is the best offensive-minded head coach in college football, so I would definitely say keep an eye on Jalen Hurts and that Oklahoma offense.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if – I don't know how Lincoln Riley was, like, the best-kept secret for a long time, like on the Bob Stoops. You know what I mean? I mean, he has
right. –
back-to-back Heisman winners at quarterback, you know, Baker Mayfield and, of course, Kyler Murray, both went number one overall. And you figure that Jalen Hurts, you know, he has that athleticism. We all know he has that athleticism. We all know
right.
dude has legs. He's just not consistent enough as a passer. But I'm telling you, man, I mean, what better way to get your passing game going than working on the Lincoln Riley? I mean, that
right.
was a coup for both sides, for both Jalen and for Oklahoma. So, I mean, expect a lot of points to keep pouring out of Norman, and hopefully that defense is halfway Woodford Dam. Maybe you know, have to outscore the opponents 54-50 every time out.
Right.
But anyway, one more thing before we get into the conference previews. I mean, we've been talking storylines here. We're talking about coaches on the hot seat, like Heisman front runners, and who will win the Heisman. Everything's kind of up in the air. Obviously, we never know until they kick the ball off this weekend. Riddle me this. Is there any college team that could challenge Clemson and or Alabama? Because to me, this is shaping up to be Clemson v. Alabama Part 5 as the rubber match. And I don't see any team challenge them. I mean, LSU, maybe. Oklahoma, perhaps, if they can stop people on defense. Utah, if they have the offense, maybe. But can anyone stop the Clemson versus Alabama inevitability from happening?
Right, and that's the biggest question. That's what everyone's talking about coming into the 2019 season is, can anybody dethrone Alabama and Clemson? To be frank, I think there's three, maybe four teams in the nation who have a solid chance of challenging these two teams. I think my number one team would be Georgia. Georgia, right. Ever since the Kirby Smart hire, recruitment has been on fire there. They have had a top five class out of almost every single year since he's been there. That team is loaded with four and five star talent. I'd say they have a top three and a Heisman contender quarterback in Jake Fromm, and I think they also have another top three and Heisman contending running back in DeAndre Swift. So I think that's definitely the number one team who could challenge Alabama or Clemson. And I mean, if you look back to 2 years ago, Georgia actually beat Alabama for the conference title and then played them again in the national championship. So I would definitely give Georgia the number one spot there. I have two other teams I think that could maybe have a chance here. I would say number two would be Ohio State, which there's a lot of unknowns coming into this season. With Ohio State, as we said before, replacing an offensive coordinator, a first-time head coach, replacing a defensive coordinator, and replacing their starting quarterback. With that said, though, I think Urban Meyer left a blueprint there. I think Ryan Day can pick up right where Urban Meyer left off. I love Kevin Wilson as the offensive coordinator, and I think Justin Fields is set to have a great season as quarterback. I think he's very talented, and I think that J.K. Dobbins, the running back, he's going to be taking the majority of the reps this year after sharing reps the past two seasons. So I think Ohio State would be a team to watch. They're easily one of the most talented teams in the country, along with Georgia. They're stacked with four- and five-star talent. So I would give Ohio State the second-best chance. And then my third team that I think would have a chance would be Oklahoma. Obviously, we talked about Jalen Hurts. The transfer quarterback from Alabama. He's under one of the greatest offensive minds, I would say, in Lincoln Riley. The biggest question there is the defense. Can they make defensive improvements? We've seen their defense the past 2 years. It has been anything but stellar. It's been, to be frank, horrible. So we'll have to see how that defense plays. And if they can step up, then I think that Oklahoma definitely has the firepower to challenge Alabama or Clemson.
Yeah, I agree with you, Alabama. I mean, I remember last year's college football playoff semifinal. I mean, they jumped out to that big, Alabama jumped out to that lead in Alabama, in Oklahoma, made a valiant comeback. But the thing is, Oklahoma's big problem has been trying to stop people. So, to your point, as long as if they can show they can stop people, I mean that would be awesome if you are an Oklahoma fan. But as all things, man, I gotta see it to believe it, you know. So, I mean, again, it's that thing with Oklahoma, that one thing that they're missing, that's a halfway competent defense that could actually give Oklahoma a chance. You know,
for
big
sure.
Games like that. Not every opponent is a Big 12 opponent, so they have to come correct with that. So here's what we're going to do right quick. We're going to go through, all the Power Fives and pick out the division winners and conference champs, and maybe mention, like, I guess, maybe go through, like, a couple of group of five conferences, like the American and the Mountain West in particular, maybe Conference USA as well, and just give who we think is going to win that those conferences as well. So without further ado, we're going to start with the ACC, which just got its network going, and unless you're outside the footprint, you should be a little bit happy. But in the Atlanta division, I don't know anyone's going to pick against Clemson. I don't know if anyone's going to challenge Clemson in the Atlanta division. In the Coastal division, I went back and forth. At first, I was thinking Virginia, and they were the sexy pick because how they finished the season last year, and they got the best quarterback, in my opinion, in the division as well. I can't think of his name offhand. But after seeing Miami, you know, and losing that effort, albeit against Florida, I think everything's opened up for them. Because if you look at their schedule, dude, they get both Virginia and Virginia Tech at home, okay?
Right.
And they won't face a pass rush like they did against Florida the rest of the season unless they play Clemson in the conference championship, which I do have them playing Clemson national, and I'm sorry, in the conference championship, of course, Clemson winning. So what say you in the Atlanta Coast Conference?
Definitely. On the Atlantic side, who other than Clemson, I think it's pretty obvious there. I don't see anybody in that conference that could really challenge them. Florida State's been down recently, so I would count them out. I'd say the second best team on that side of the conference would be Syracuse, and I think there's a big drop-off between those two teams. So it's definitely Clemson 100%. The Atlantic side, that's a little more interesting. I think Miami is on their way back up. As you mentioned, Virginia and Virginia Tech are two solid teams. I think Miami has a pretty good chance to win that side of the conference this year. I think they looked pretty impressive against Florida. So I would say Clemson versus Miami in the conference championship, and Clemson is the winner for sure.
Yeah, I don't see anybody being Clemson. I mean, let's be real. I mean, I grew up in the Atlantic Coast Conference footprint. I went to NC State. I'm a proud alum. But the ACC is trash. If your toughest opponent is Syracuse, come on. So,
yep.
I mean, Florida State's pretty down right now. So, I mean, this is like almost like the AFC East with New England.
Right.
So,
it's Clemson and a whole lot of nobody.
Exactly. Or it's one person, Swartzwell, and said that it's Clemson and the 13 Dwarfs right now. So, anyway, let's move on to the Big Ten. And the Big Ten needs to have your Buckeyes winning it. Actually beating out Michigan State for it. I think Michigan State's going to have a bounce back year with everyone health back and healthy. And the Big Ten West is such a crapshoot, man. I mean, I was thinking maybe Northwestern, maybe Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska's going to get a whole hell of a lot of love for some reason. But I'm taking Iowa. Something about Kirk Ferentz. Yeah, I really dig. Yeah, so I'm taking Iowa, and of course I got Ohio State beating Iowa for the Big Ten title.
I'm going to have to agree with you on most of that there. I think Ohio State will take the East again this year. I think Michigan State is going to have a great year as well. I think Michigan is going to be up there. I think they're going to be Ohio State's biggest challenge. And Penn State, of course, is always up there. So that's four good teams in that division. I would take Ohio State out of that side, though. The West is going to be interesting this year. There's a lot of competition in that division that hasn't really had a lot of competition in the past few years. They have Iowa, Nebraska, who a lot of people are high on this year. I think Wisconsin is going to have a bounce back year, and then there's always Northwestern. So there's a lot of teams in there that definitely have a chance. I would agree Iowa or maybe Wisconsin for the West side.
Do you understand why Nebraska's got a lot of hype? Because I don't. I know Scott Frost is a great coach. I know he's back home. I know what he did at UCF, but this is a different animal here. I mean, I think Nebraska, they'll improve. They can help but improve, but I don't think they're going to be as good as a lot of people think they're going to be. I don't have them winning more than 8 games.
I definitely think the Nebraska hype needs to slow down. I do love Scott Frost. I think he's a great coach. He did great things at UCF. He's back at his alma mater in Nebraska now. I do love their quarterback, Adrian Martinez. I think he's great. He was a true freshman last year. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the conference this year. I definitely don't see him turning that program around in 2 years and already challenging for the Big Ten title. I think it's going to take a little bit longer.
I think maybe next year the ball starts rolling for Nebraska and Scott Frost, but not this year. I really don't see it. Let's move on to the Big 12, my friend. I have Oklahoma beating Iowa State.
Okay.
Not Texas, Iowa State. I really like Iowa State a lot. I love their coach. I don't know if he's going to be there much longer, because if he has Iowa State still humming along, someone's going to snap him up sooner rather than later. Texas, I still think, is a little overrated for my taste. I could be wrong about that. They had a good year last year. But I'll tell you what, the LSU and Texas matchup in week 2 is going to tell me a whole hell of a lot about Texas. If Texas wins that, guys, the limit for them. Otherwise, I just don't see it happening for them this season. But at any rate, I have Oklahoma winning the Big 12.
Definitely. I have to disagree with you on Texas. I think they're going to be right up there with Oklahoma. I think it's going to be between them two.
Okay.
In my opinion, it's pretty much a toss-up. I love Sam Ehlinger. I love their coach and Tom Herman. I think he's doing great. I think it's going to come down to those two teams, and it's going to come down to who can play the better defense. And whoever can make the most stops, I think, is going to take the Big 12 title.
You know, you got to love those Big 12 games, man, where the average score is 51-48.
Right.
If you're a football purist, you may not like it as much, but hell, at least it's a little bit exciting. But at any rate, let's move to Pac 12. I got, I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid, everybody else. I got Oregon winning the Pac 12 North over Washington. And the South, I'm really drinking the Utah Kool-Aid. They are loaded defensively. I love their coach. If they have a competent offense, they could really do some damage. But I think that's enough to win the South over USC and Arizona State, even though I really like, believe it or not, I mean, Coach Harmeris has done a hell of a job at Arizona State. He has those guys playing at a high level. They're not there yet, but they're obviously pretty good. But I have Utah beating Oregon to win the Pac-12 conference.
I like that. I definitely think I agree with you on Utah. I think they're going to win the South Division pretty handily. I like them a lot this year. I think the Pac-12 is going to be really competitive this year, which is a little bit of a change from the past couple of years.
Yep.
I feel like the Pac-12 has definitely made big improvements. They have a lot of teams competing. Oregon, Washington, always two great teams. There's a couple teams lower in the rankings like Stanford and Washington State, who's always a solid team. So I think it's definitely going to be competitive. It's going to be interesting to watch. But I'm going to agree with you. Utah and Oregon, but I think Oregon's going to take the crown. I think Justin Herbert is going to have a great season, and I'm going to say they win the Pac-12.
You know what? There's another game that I mentioned that LSU and Texas will tell me a lot about Texas. Oregon versus Auburn is going to tell me a whole hell of a lot about Oregon. And that was talking about changing fortune for variety of stuff things. First of all, like on the periphery, not only for Oregon, but for the Pac-12, if Oregon beats Auburn, because the Pac-12 has been much maligned for the past two seasons, right? And had a team in the college football playoff in two straight seasons, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, and this, and if you look at the conference, it's very deep. I mean, you have multiple teams who can win at least eight, nine games.
Right.
And, you know, but there's such they cannibalize each other. You know, it's like it's not one great team, and that's because you have a lot of good teams, if that makes any sense,
right,
in the Pac-12. But I think if Oregon finds a way to beat Auburn this coming Saturday, and if Oregon, they don't even have to run the table, just if they lose just once, if they come in 11-1, if they do beat Utah, and also if using that same scenario, if Oregon beats Auburn but loses to Utah, that could be great for Utah, and that could be even better. And that could be great as well for the Pac-12, because in the case of Utah, you beat a team like Oregon who beat a very good above average SEC squad to start the season.
Right.
So you know, if both squads go in the conference championship game at 11-1, you know, the winner I think is a shoe in the college football playoff. That is,
yep,
if Oregon does beat, or if it does beat Auburn in week one.
Yeah, it'll be a good game. I can't wait to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I mean, you got to love college football, man. Especially open weekend matchups. I mean, you have to love that. Last but not least, on the Power Five, you got the SEC, a.k.a. the Beast, because it means more. I have Georgia winning the East, Alabama winning the West, and unless I see otherwise, I see Alabama keeping Georgia from getting over that proverbial hump. But watch, keep an eye out for LSU. I like what they're doing down there in Baton Rouge. They finally have a quarterback who's worth a damn to go up that defense in the running game. The team that's so talented shouldn't be underachieving year to year. So I like what Ed Orgeron is doing. I like what Jimbo Fisher is doing at Texas A&M, even though that schedule is going to be brutal. You wouldn't know if they're going to be better because the schedule is so damn brutal. I mean, they go to Clemson in two weeks. So, of course, they got to play Alabama and LSU as well. So, aside from Missouri, I don't remember who they get cross conference, but. Yeah, it's going to be pretty brutal for Texas A&M. But, I got Alabama beating Georgia again for the Southeast Conference title.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I love all the teams you mentioned. LSU, I think they're going to have a good season. They're coming off a pretty good season last year. I like their quarterback. I think he's a great leader, Joe Burrow. They're always loaded on defense, so they're definitely going to be, I would say, a top 10 team. I also really like Texas A&M. I think Jimbo Fisher has done great there. I think Kellen Mond is a pretty solid quarterback, so I definitely like Texas A&M, but as you said, their schedule is brutal. So I definitely have Alabama winning the West side, and then I have Georgia from the East. As I said before, I think they're one of the most talented teams in the country. I think they beat Florida pretty easily, and I say they take on Alabama in the conference championship, and I would take Alabama to beat Georgia.
What would it take for Georgia to get over that hump? I mean, Georgia's right there. They've been right there for the past couple of seasons. Kirby Smart's doing a hell of a job, as you mentioned earlier, in recruiting. He's coaching them up really well. What will it take to get over that Alabama hump? Because they're right there. They're really right there. They're just one or two plays away from being that squad from the SEC.
100%. They did take down Alabama in the conference championship game. Alabama was able to avenge that loss in the national title game. But they are right there. They have a great head coach. They're loaded with talent. They have a great quarterback, a great running back. And I think it could be really close. And they are plays away from getting over that hump. So it'll be interesting to watch. It's going to be a toss-up game, but Alabama, Nick Saban, you can't bet against them.
You got that right, unless proven otherwise. Maybe Clemson will attest to it, but outside of Clemson, I just don't see it. We're going to run through, I call it the best of the rest, the group of five, starting with the strongest of the group of five, the American Athletic Conference. I have Cincinnati with it. It's not because I live here in Cincinnati. I think UCF is going to take a big step back this season. They have like that Wimbush kid from Notre Dame is going to be probably starting the year because the top two quarterbacks from last season are still hurt. One of them, McKenzie Hilton, I don't know if he's going to ever play again. God bless him. I mean, seeing that injury live last year, I feel for you, man. I guess
absolutely horrible.
But I got Cincinnati winning. I love what Luke Fickell is doing here in Cincinnati at UC. So I got Cincinnati winning the American. I got Buffalo winning the MAC. Hashtag Maxion. I have Appalachian State winning the Sun Belt. I have UAB, the ultimate comeback story, University of Alabama, Birmingham. Remember when they shut down that program 2 years ago and they brought it back? They won, I think, 8 or 9 games last year. They're gonna capture the Conference USA title this year. And I got Boise State winning the Mountain West. I got them beating San Diego State for that. So, which one of these do you think that I'm pretty off on in terms of the Group of Five conference winners?
I definitely agree with a lot of what you said. I think the strongest Group of Five conference is obviously the American. There's a lot of great teams in that conference this year. I definitely like Cincinnati, like you said, and I definitely think it's going to be between them and UCF. UCF, obviously, back-to-back undefeated regular seasons. They beat a top 10 Auburn team 2 years ago in a New Year's Six Bowl. So I think it's going to depend on how well their transfer quarterback, Brandon Wimbush, can come in and play. So I think it's either UCF or Cincinnati. I also like Memphis in that conference, and we'll see how USF does as well.
I love Memphis. They're slow. They're really building to be a powerhouse, a potential powerhouse, because they're putting money in their facilities. Finally, they're doing something to the Liberty Bowl, thank the Lord. And, you know, they have the resources. They're getting more of the resources now. They're improving their recruiting. And it's a lot to like about Memphis. And I like what – I've always been a Charlie Strong fan. And, you know, I like what he's doing in South Florida. They have a chance to be really good as well. But I really like what, to your point, what we mentioned, like, I love what Luke Fickell is doing at UC. I mean, they won 11 games last year. And I think the sky's the limit. They open with UCLA tomorrow night. So,
right.
I think it's that everything is right there for them. So speaking of the group of five, who do you see out of the group of five having the potential of upsetting the apple cart, if you will, in college football? It's been UCF the past 2 seasons. So who do you think is going to be the flavor going to this season or when it's all said and done?
I gotta stick with UCF there. I like their head coach. I'd like to see how well their quarterback can play, but I'd have to stick with them going into the 2019 season.
Yeah, I agree. I see it. I mean, they have a good coach. They have great resources. Everything else, I don't know. I think they'll take a step back a little bit. I mean, it's not going to stink, but I think it's their time. But it's going to be exciting. They're both in the same division, so they'll sell it one way or another. And that game will be played here in Cincinnati, so that would be another must-see if you're a UC fan. Any love for Boise State? I know Boise State used to be that flavor for so long, so any chance Boise State could sneak in there as well, or do you think it's UCF and it's UCF's time and everyone else to have to take a step back?
Definitely. I think Boise State is a great team. I think they definitely have a chance. They've been one of the best Group of Five conferences for our teams for a while now. So I would definitely give them a chance as well. They're always a solid team, so it'll be interesting to see, but definitely.
Yeah, so getting to this leads up to this, my man. The four teams in the college football playoff, I can name two off the top of my head easily. Clemson, Alabama. and I also have Oklahoma and Utah in there as well. I got Utah sneaking in there for the fourth playoff slot. So who do you have aside from Clemson and Alabama in the final four?
Right. The obvious two, Clemson and Alabama at the top. I definitely like Utah, as you said. I don't think they're quite ready. I think they're on their way there. For my third team, I'm going to go with Ohio State. As I said before, I think they're going to win the Big Ten Conference. I think Justin Fields is going to have a great year. I think he's a very talented quarterback. I think Ryan Day is going to pick up right where Urban Meyer left off. So I would take them as my third seed. And then for number four, I'm going to go with either Oklahoma or the Texas. As I said, I think it's going to be a toss-up to that conference. I think whichever team wins will be the fourth team in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I share bravely there. So, assuming that it's going to be close to Alabama again, you have to win the rubber match.
I think I'm going to have to go with Clemson again. I love Trevor Lawrence. That team is loaded with talent.
Right.
I love their coach. So I'm going to go Clemson to take down Alabama in the national title game again.
Yeah, me too. And it's going to be interesting. But I mean, Clemson, they got a lot coming back. As is Bama, but I got Clemson winning it all, so we'll see. But hey, man, thanks all for joining me, and I'll be in touch with you throughout the college football season, my man.
Awesome, man. Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, right, and I look forward to hearing from you.
You got it, brother. That's Jesse Robredo. Please check him out on Twitter. Follow him on Twitter at @CFB_overtime, and he has a lot of great inside college football. Young guy, and he's a great fall. So I'm going to give my quick 2 cents here on Andrew Luck and Rob Gronkowski, who made comments earlier this week as well. Well, first of all, a lot of people have been coming down on Andrew Luck. I mean, not as much now with hindsight, but a little bit behind, like everything marinate, I guess. But suffice to say, it was shocking as hell to hear about Andrew Luck's retirement. And, you know, people, you know, from the fans booing him at the stadium. I really can't blame the fans for that because, I mean, hell, Indianapolis was a sexy pick to win the AFC. They definitely were great and a popular pick to win the AFC South. And especially after the year that the Colts had last season with everyone coming back, with the Colts being under the cap, you know, to go along with that, I mean, I get it. I get why fans are pretty pissed off at Luck. However, I don't think that people should take shots at him, call him weak for like feeling mentally exhausted. I mean, if he has to deal with a lot of injuries that this guy had, I mean, who wouldn't be mentally drained? Because any professional athlete will tell you that regular season games, it could be a grind. It could be a grind. I mean, having to perform day in, night in and night out, week in and week out. I mean, especially when you're constantly hurting, and constantly getting nicked up. It could be a lot. I mean, it could be a whole lot. I mean, it's like you wake up and you say, I really want to go through this shit again? I mean, throughout the week with practices, meetings, and training, getting taped up, and getting treatment and stuff. I mean, I can imagine nothing like running out of a tunnel if you're a football player, hearing the crowd, the home crowd. That drilling rush, man, that would be awesome to even experience, like for at least a little bit. But it comes with a price. That's why you hear the phrase "paying the price." You know, and you got to get yourself ready for the week, get yourself right after the game, and come back and expect to come back and do it again against another opponent, and going against the best of the best. I mean, it's not even fair, but it's what it is, right? But also, you got to think about what Andrew had to deal with, Luck had to deal with. He had to deal with the first amount of coaches, didn't know a whole hell of a lot in offense, Chuck Pagano. He had an awful GM who was allergic to drafting any quality players. I mean, let's face it, the players, the offense, he only drafted 3 offensive linemen in the 3 or 4 years that he was GM. And none of those kids he drafted are on the team. I don't think they're even playing football anymore. So Luck had to overcome that. I mean, remember, he was sacked so many times his first few years of his career to the point where he was getting assaulted. He was getting beaten up. And it also didn't help that Luck, while he's a big young man, I think he's 6'5", 6'6", and weighs a lot, that he thought that he could run over linebackers, safeties. That wasn't a good idea. Because it took a toll on him to the point where his body said, no mas, enough. So, I mean, I can't really blame him for that. But I'll tell you this. Andrew Luck strikes me as a very intelligent dude. I mean, he did graduate from Stanford, and he did major in architecture engineering. He's going to be all right. And plus, he comes from a rich family, too. He's going to be fine. So he has a future laid out for him. And apparently that doesn't include using a walker age 50. I mean, so, and again, he said he got tired. He got broken, tired of being of rehabbing. And let's just face it, that calf injury, I guess, he suffered in April, which I thought, and everyone thought, and he thought too, that was going to go away for training camp. I mean, it still lingered. And it lingered again to the point where apparently what doctors are saying that this may linger throughout the regular season. And I think someone said that Angela made a promise to himself that he wasn't going to go through, I think it was 2017, where he missed the entire season. He was relegated only doing handoffs and practice. He promised himself he wouldn't go through that again. And with the prospect of that happening, he said, screw this. I'm done. I'm totally done. And I don't begrudge Andrew Luck for doing that, so good for him. And you know what? And good on Gronk, too, for sharing what he was going through while he retired. I mean, he was saying that after the Super Bowl, he couldn't sleep for more than 20 minutes because he was in pain. I mean, they had to drain a pint of blood out of his out of his thigh because it was that swollen. And personally, I can begin to empathize because I suffer from plantar fasciitis, and to the point where it has gone from mildly annoying to downright excruciating at times in the past 72 hours. I feel you. Again, I'm not a football player. I don't pretend to be a football player, but I understand, Gronk. I totally understand, even though I'm an old guy. But at any rate, I mean, plus, think about it. I mean, if you're Gronk and if you suffer with injuries over this past few seasons, I mean, back injuries, MCL, ACL tears and strains, shoulder injuries, and stuff like that, you deal with all of that and having to deal with Coach Bill Belichick on a daily basis, Mr. Let's suck out your joy, Mr. You know, you can't be yourself. You got to follow the program. And the program has worked well for him. I mean, he's won 6 Super Bowl titles. So I'm not knocking him. But I'm just telling you, I mean, imagine dealing with that if you're Gronk. And you're 29 years old, that's the same age as Andrew Luck, if I'm not mistaken. You know, would you want to deal with that anymore? The answer is no. So, look. People may call these guys quitters, these young men quitters, and you know, but they're more educated than average players were even 10 years ago about this stuff, and especially going back 15, 20 years ago. So, look, just don't do what Doug Gottlieb and Dan Dockers did. I mean, I know that Dan Gottlieb said that, you know, he was being sarcastic. You know, he was a quote smart ass. I mean, his words, not mine. A known smart ass. But still, just don't do that. And I don't know what Dan Dockers was thinking. I mean, he's just full of so he's just selfless. But anyway, so don't begrudge Luck. Don't begrudge Gronk. They did what they did for the teams and the fan bases. They should be celebrated accordingly. So anyway, thank y'all for tuning in to the podcast, The Clown Hour. This is Scott Burke signing off. Podcasting after dark. Y'all love this. It's like 11:50 p.m. East Coast time. So thank y'all for tuning in. Enjoy College Football Week 1. Until next time, 06. Good night.